Philippians chapter number 2. Go with me down to verse number 12. I'll read down probably through verse 16. I've read some of this to you before. I will not be preaching the passage or scripture that I preached before. I love the book of Philippians. It's a joy book. Amen. By the way, you can have joy even when you have bad circumstances. Yes, amen. Amen. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Paul was in jail, and his theme was joy. I mean, and by the way, we've been to the prison he'd been to over in Caesarea by the sea. I've never been to anywhere like it. It was about, 20, 30 feet deep. He's laying down there in the bottom of with rats and mire and ugliness. But he had joy. I'm glad for Christians. The whole world may be going against you. But see, joy is not happiness. Happiness comes because of outward circumstances. Joy comes from the inside. Somebody help me. I like to define joy as Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. If you ever get that order right in your life, you'll have joy unspeakable, full of glory. I'm trying not to preach on that, but I just thought I would say a word. Philippians 2, are you there? Say amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to read this, but I want to say, first of all, this church at Philippi was one of Paul's favorite churches. One of his favorite churches. He loved the church of Philippi. I mean, he was responsible for the birth of the church. How many of y'all remember how that church got birth? It got birth from a jailhouse. He had a revival in the jailhouse at midnight. God came down and saved the Philippian jailer. God saved Lydia, the seller of purple. And the church actually was birthed in her house and became a wonderful church, came a vibrant church. And I thank God for it. It was his pet church. Look at Philippians chapter number 2 and verse 12. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And what I'm going to do is just go on these verses, verse by verse, until I get to the thought that I want to go to tonight. Wherefore, my beloved, now anytime you see the word wherefore, how many of y'all know what that means? It is pointing us back to what just happened in the book. And the wherefore there was in context with the character of Christ who came from another country, disrobed himself of glory, put on himself the form of man, bore your sin upon the cross of Calvary, came out of the tomb on the third day, and now it says he has a name above every name. The name of Jesus. I'll praise his name. And notice what he says. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. Boy, I like this. Not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. See, he said what he was saying there, and I don't want to get a lot into this because I'll ramble. But he's saying, you people live for God even if I wasn't around. Come on. You know what? I ought not have to scold you to be in church. I ought not to have to shame you to be in church. I ought not to have to get on your case to want to love God and do your best for God because he done his best for you. Good preaching, Reverend. Amen. You know what the preacher said? Hey, I can count on you when I'm there, or I can count on you when I'm not there. Thank God for a great church like this. Hey, y'all folk, there's a lot of you I know I can count on you to be in church. I can count on you to pay your tithe. And if you're not in church and you're on vacation, you also make up your tithe and do right. You know why? Because I believe in you. That's what Paul was saying. Good preaching, Reverend. I love that. But now, much more in my absence. Now, here's what he said. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. Now notice this. I want y'all to notice this. He did not say to work at your salvation.
That's right.
And he did not say to work for your salvation.
Come on,
somebody help me. It's by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I like this. That works crowd that says to work out your own salvation, you're a whole bit. We don't work for salvation. We don't work to be saved. But let me tell you, we do work because we are saved.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know why I want to serve God? You know why I want to be in church? You know why I want to be around my brother? It's because I am saved. And by the way, that is a sure sign I have been saved. Good preacher, Reverend. I like that. Work out your own salvation. By the way, if he's going to work it out, he must have already had it. You don't work out something you don't have. You work out something you do have. Well, glory. Man, that's good. Let's go on. I'm starting to like this. For it is God. Now notice this, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, not only are we to work out our salvation, but God is working his will in us in that when he saved us, he gave us a new mind to know him, a new heart to love him, and a new will to obey him. I want you to know something. There was something happened to me, Jeff, on the inside that totally revolutionized my life.
Amen.
Somebody help me. And that was the work of God. Hey, listen to me. We don't preach much on it. By the way, salvation did not start with you. Salvation started with God. Hey, by the way, here's what God does. He lets you hear the word of God. He puts you under conviction. How many remember when you got under conviction? I'm talking about Holy Ghost conviction where God, here's what God does. He brings you to a place where you can be saved and you can trust God. But I want you to know you can't be saved without him working on you. I want you to know why there's a lack of conversions today is that there's a lack of conviction and a lack of a God dealing in hearts. I really believe that the work of God starts with him. All right, let's go on. Man. Now notice this. I like this. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Quit complaining. Let me ask you something. Anybody in this room have caught yourself complaining? Liar. Liar. Pants on fire. You ever got, any of y'all ever mutter? Any of you ever come, me, why didn't Marguerite act like you for? Every time I preach on this, I get under conviction because God's been awful good to us. And I had to be honest with you, I ain't got nothing to complain about tonight. I ain't got nothing to mutter about tonight. I've got a God that's been beyond my dreams. I got a God that saved me. He saved me, and he's going to take me to heaven. And why do we mutter? Why do we complain? Why do we gripe? Why do we judge people? We ought to serve God. I'm just going down to scripture. Did I say that? I'm getting somewhere. Y'all just stay with me. Look at verse 15. I'm almost there. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. And here's what I want you to get to. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He said that we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I followed us all day, Briscoe here. He works on shoulders and backs, don't you? Dave, you'll be familiar with this, I think. This word crooked comes from the Greek word scolio. You know where I'm going? And if I don't get this right, you get up and correct me. And it's where we get the word scoliosis. Yeah, how many of y'all know what scoliosis is? Dave, am I right? Is that a crooked spine, right? Am I close? That puts pressure on you and causes you pain. What Paul was saying is, we're living, somebody help me preach, in a crooked world. I want all y'all to hear this. This world's not going to give you a good deal. This world's not going to treat you fair. This world is crooked in its acts. It's crooked in its thoughts. It's crooked in every way and every function. One writer said the whole world lies in wickedness. Am I preaching? I'm going somewhere, and I know some of you are wishing I would hurry up and get there. I mean, I'm talking about a world that elevates the LGBTQ community. And by the way, we don't preach one anymore. We're scared half to death of that crowd. Not me. It's perverted and wicked, and I'm going to preach on it. And by the way, they're adding to it. What's the next thing? LGBTQP? Pedophiles? Somebody help me preach. In California recently passed a bill that if you had sex with a minor and it was not more than a 10-year difference in your life, in your age, they wouldn't put you away. That really means a 20-year-old can have a sex with a 10-year-old and it's fine. Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't fine. It's wicked. It's ungodly. We're living in a crooked generation. And I'm getting to my title in a moment, but I want to build this thing. I want you to hear me. Then he said something else. It's a perverted nation. By the way, you can't even look at a commercial without seeing an agenda. Am I preaching? Here's what I want to preach. I know I'm taking a while. I want to preach on how to be straight when everything's crooked. Living straight when everything's crooked and perverted. Amen. We see it creeping in our home. Somebody help me preach. There's things in the home right now that, under God, I've never believed it would ever get in the homes, but it is. We've opened it up to pornography. We've opened it up to a cesspool of sin. And I want you to know something. We need to know how to live a Christian life and live straight. Even when the whole world's crooked. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, if you think I don't feel the pressure, I feel the pressure. Because I know people are under pressure. Come on. I mean, you're having to raise your kids. Come on. You got to work. You got a vacation. And all this mess. Look, number one. Look at verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. Now notice this word. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Notice this word. Among. Here's what it's saying. We're in the midst of it. We're among it. We're raising our kids in it. Hey. I'm probably going to get in trouble. I know this pandemic's real. Don't go out here and say, I don't know. I done had COVID, so I know it's real. I still got a cough. But I will tell you this. Our government is out of control. And they're using it to control us. I think we'll have COVID-19 till I'm long gone. Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. Do this. Do that. The most contradictory bunch of liars I've ever met in my whole life. And somebody needs to run Anthony Fauci out of town. I didn't get one amen on it, but I'm an amen myself. I mean, he damn right. I think his head fell off and his brain fell out. I mean, he don't have a clue what he's doing. I just went back at his track record. I really don't know what the man thinks. I guess I'm going to buy me 5 masks. Somebody's helped me preach. But I want you to know what the Bible says. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know that good and pleasant will of God. Amen. We're the dwelling of the Christian. Hey, Lois, we in this anyhow. We got to face it anyhow. Your kids getting ready to go back to school 2 weeks. Can y'all believe that? Isn't it the 10th for Kanawha County? 9th? When's Putnam County go in? Kids, when's Putnam County go? 17th? 24th. Oh, they get an extra vacation. Your kids this year are going to have more pressure on them than they ever had before. There's clubs at your kids' public school are anti-God and anti-Christ.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Am I preaching? You are dwelling in a crooked generation. And we need to know how to survive a crooked and perverse generation.
Amen.
And I'll tell you one way is to keep your family in church and keep your kids in church and get them where they got a positive influence, somebody that they can count on and not some reject of the world.
Amen.
I know some of y'all thinking, what pill did he take tonight? Number two, now notice this. I like this. Look at the next part of the verse. Not only the dwelling of the Christian, we see the description of the Christian. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Whew. Hallelujah. We are lights. I hear people, I had a preacher do this week, and I gently rebuked him. Gently. Because I know, he said, preacher, can we build a church in this dark world? He said, I'm finding it difficult to build a church in this dark world. I said, I think you've made a mistake. Here's your problem. You're worrying about the darkness. But I tell you what, you turn these lights off and let me light a little candle up. It'll light this whole place up. See, I want all y'all to know, I still believe God will move and can move, and we can build a church in this last day because we are the light of the world. We need to shine our light. Christian, you need to shine your light. Christian, you need to be a witness to your neighbor. Somebody help me preach. Remember the Esther I preached a few weeks ago? Her name meant star. She came to a kingdom for such a time as this. You know what she did? She came in a dark time, a difficult time, but she let her light shine. Amen. I had the parent, a girlfriend of the boy that robbed the church here a few weeks ago come see me yesterday. They're hurting. And you might say, but did you just get on them and on him? No, I didn't get on him. Tell you what the boy needs. He needs light. I'll be honest with you, I done forgave him. He wrote me a letter. By the way, I will tell the church, he wrote a letter. Sincere or not, Jeff, he wrote me a letter, wrote the church a letter, and apologized. And I told her I'd do what I can. If I could help get him somewhere where he could get delivered from his addiction, thank God for it. I don't know if that's possible. But I did want to know this. They were in my office. They didn't want somebody to shine darkness on them. We need to shine light on them. I want you to know, hey, this world, hey, there's people that need our light. Hey, as honored as I am, there's people that need John Smith. A preacher friend called me this week. He said, what would we do without you? You've been a light for so many years. Example. It's all black, but it don't take much light to light the world and light it up. Just turn the lights off and put a little light in this place. You know what you need to do, Jeremy? You need to go out tomorrow. You're the light to where you work. 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 Hey, we don't need to go out there and act like we're in darkness. We need to go out there with the light of the glorious gospel of Christ and tell everybody you see there is hope in God.
Amen.
I'll tell you something. We started, you know, COVID's been ridiculous. We started our soul winning back. And do y'all know, every time we've went out, men or women, somebody's got saved.
Amen.
And you say, what are you thinking? I think even those in darkness know something's coming.
Right. Amen.
So they need some light. Yep. You know, I was reluctant. See, I thought, well, we're going to go out there, and they're going to say, you're going to give me COVID. They ain't none of them done that. And right now, they seem more welcoming and more needful and needing. And here's the sad fact about it. We're the only church within 5 miles of here that still go house to house and take the gospel. Ain't none of them knew it. Ain't none of them knew it. Nobody does it anymore. I tell you why. There's too many churches playing games. Somebody help me preach. I mean, you know, when the pastor at the church drinks and cusses and acts like a devil, I don't think he's going to get no light out. Hello. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, I know some of y'all think Taze Valley's so far from this world. But I want you to know, as I was traveling in Phoenix and other places, these people out there saw me and knew who I was. Knows about Taze Valley Baptist Church. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing something for God. We're just a light. I'm nobody. You're nobody. But together we can let our light shine. We can reach a world with the gospel. This gospel needs light.
Amen. That's good.
Pardon me. Am I all right for Chad? I'm trying to finish y'all. You know, I tell you, we don't need the government doing our job. We really don't need the school system to do our job. We need to do our job and do the church's job and be an influence to this society. Amen. That's what Jeremiah done. That's what Paul done. That's what John the Baptist done. Hey, by the way, believe this or not, you're not here by accident. Somebody help me preach. I'll be honest with you. Every once in a while, I remember when Chris, you went out one time and you told some of your neighbors I was a 50s type of preacher. I wish I was born in 30. And my heyday was the 50s. But I ain't. I got Joe Biden as my president. Glory, glory, glory. And I know it's a wicked and crooked world. But can I tell you, I wouldn't trade what opportunity I have tonight in this wicked world and the gospel that we get to preach and the influences this church has had to be back in the 50s when it was smoother, when we were more accepted. I know we're not accepted like we used to be, but we're still effective if we preach the gospel.
Amen.
I'm done. Some of you are saying, hallelujah. Verse 16, our Christian determination. I'm done. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. My determination. Listen, look. Is holding forth the word of life. I'm not holding up programs, though we got a lot of good ones. And I'm not holding up preachers. And by the way, I'm not doing that. That's what they've done in the carnal church. As one said, I'm appalled, I'm of this, and I'm of that. I'm holding up the gospel. I'm not holding up my performance or my plans. I'm holding up the only hope that this world has, and that's the word of truth. Amen. I want y'all all to know this Bible I got is fresh. Why can I say that, Lois? It's inspired. It's God-breathed. It's preserved. Now, I'm not going to get in a fuss with you, but God preserved his word.
Amen.
Anybody in this church, I don't know if anybody's into this or not. Y'all's all, everybody's getting modern. Is anybody here? Can? Nobody. Oh, we got one canner in America, two canners. You still can. You want me to give you 5 more minutes to get in on this? Okay. You know what? You canned that food. You canned it to preserve it, didn't you? And if you know what you're doing, sister, you do. I know you do. You can can that thing for a year. If it's done right, you'll pop that thing off. It's got a kind of a good sound. Have you ever, how many's ever heard that saying? Mama Marguerite used to call, well, you say Mama Marguerite, well, because she acts like my mother. And she used to can. And I tell you what, when she did, and she, then we got ready to eat that stuff, she hit that lid off there and it popped, got that pop. I like that pop. And that smell, boy, it got up my nostrils. I want you to know something. It just filled the whole house. I want you to know I got a Bible here that is preserved. That brings a freshness, that brings a change. Somebody help me preach. Hey, let me, well, glory. Good preaching, Reverend Smith. It's pure, it's powerful, it's precious. By the way, that's my appreciation for it, but we need to apply it. We're not going to walk in this world, crooked world, if we don't apply the Word of God. I'll tell you a story. When I got saved, I had habits. Any of y'all have any? Some of you still got them. I had a terrible habit. It was terrible. It really was. I didn't know how bad it was till I started reading the Bible. But I didn't put up with it. You do know. Before I got saved, I was kind of a rough boy. And I didn't put up with a lot of foolishness. Okay? You understand what kind of, don't you? And I didn't. And if somebody act foolish, I would say, you dumb fool. I did that, Rich. Until one day, I was reading through the Beatitudes. And it says, whosoever shall call a man fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Yeah. I ain't done that for 40 years. You know why? The Word of God was applied to my heart. Word of God can't help you if you don't apply it.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
If you're a gossiper, quit gossiping. If you judge people, quit judging. If you're bitter, get over it. We got to apply the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Am I preaching?
Come on, preacher.
I want to tell you, that word bitter, I don't mean to get on bitter, but I am. I see a lot of Christians. Maybe you have been misrepresented. Maybe you have been treated bad. But I want you to know what my Bible says. Don't let the root of bitterness spring up in you. Somebody asked me the other day, said, you ever get bitter? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had the temptation to get bitter and angry. But then my Bible said, you can't even let a little root get in your heart. And by the way, I believe and still believe in repentance. See, we need to apply God's word. When y'all walk out of here, you're going to walk out of this room into a hostile world. And you're getting ready to put your kids back into a hostile school system that doesn't, they're not right. Now you, school teacher, I'm not talking about you Christian teachers. I'm talking about the environment you're in. You know what I'm talking about. You know I ain't lying. I want you to know, just put your light in there. Somebody help me preach. Am I doing all right tonight? How to live in a crooked and perverted world. Amen. I wonder, can we sing a song? Will you help me? I already sung a little bit of it. I want y'all to all sing this, and then we'll be done. Come on, how many saved here? Raise your hand.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you a chance to audition for the choir right now. You can go up there if you want to. You can go right here if you want to. Yeah, Come on, doing good.
This little
come on.
Light of mine,
come on, everybody.
I'm
gonna
let it
shine. Come on, everybody.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Well, glory.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Stand up with me. I want to ask you, heads bowed, and we'll conclude in a moment. How many of you know for sure you're saved? Raise your hand. Hold them up. I think everybody's saved. I'm going to dismiss. But how many tonight would say, preacher, I want to be a better Christian. There's pressure on me to be a, there's pressure on me right now, preacher, and I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a good example to my children. And I'd like for you to pray for me. Raise your hand. Amen. Maybe you just come around the altar and pray for your kids, pray for yourself. I want my light to shine. Our Father, Lord, as we dismiss in a moment, God, help us to know what we need to do. In Jesus' name, for His sake, amen. Just, you come pray.